Hi, this is Barry List at INFORMS, the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. You're listening to a special edition of Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. On January the 12th, a massive earthquake registering 7.0 on the Richter scale struck Haiti, one of the poorest countries in the world, and created widespread misery. The U.S. and the world community immediately began responding. In today's segment, we speak with Professors Pinar Keskinochak and Julie Swan. Together with Özlem Ergun, they are the directors of the Center for Health and Humanitarian Logistics at the Georgia Institute of Technology. Professor Keskinochak, Professor Swan, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let me begin with Professor Keskinochak. What's the biggest logistical challenge to responding to a disaster like the Haitian earthquake?
There are actually multiple challenges. In general, there is high uncertainty in demand, and we have an urgency in response efforts. There is limited availability of resources, and the coordination of relief efforts also becomes a big challenge. Often there is significant damage to the infrastructure. We may have communication, power networks, as well as roads, ports, airports damaged. And all of these things make it very hard to deliver the aid to the people that need it. And the aid is often food, water, medicine, equipment, and personnel to aid in different areas.
That indeed seems to be the problem in the news stories that we're seeing. Professor Swan, how do you think the response has gone in this initial stage?
So far, it looks like that the response effort has really met some key challenges. It looks like it's been difficult to get items into the island because of bottlenecks at the airport and damage there. And so it looks like the response effort has been slowed because of those kinds of challenges. And we are also hearing reports from a lot of the major non-governmental organizations like Doctors Without Borders that they are not able to respond as fully as they would like because of either damaged infrastructure or limited capacity and things like that.
And what needs to be done at this point to smooth the delivery of services?
I think one big challenge in this case and in some of the other similar disasters is to do assessment, which means that to understand the extent of the damage and the needs of the people. So, for example, in case of Haiti, communications has been a significant problem. As of this morning, they still do not have a clear picture about the extent of the damage and the number of people who may be dead or trapped. So if we think in supply chain terms, you know, you need to have a good understanding of the demand before you can decide what to deliver and where to deliver. And again, it depends a lot on factors such as the type of the disaster, the local economy, infrastructure, social conditions, political conditions, and things like that. And so in case of Haiti, the center of the earthquake is very close to this highly populated area. And clearly the people have not been prepared. The vulnerability is high. And we could have seen something similar in a different part of the world, and the result could have been quite different. So I agree with Julie. I think given all of these issues, the response has been facing significant challenges in that area.
What takes place before there's even an earthquake? What are the best standby preparations that can be done during downtime when we're preparing for any possible sudden disaster that might strike anywhere in the world?
For specifically for earthquakes, one thing that communities in areas do is to make sure that their buildings are sufficient to deal with the potential earthquakes. Certainly some areas have been better at doing that than others. In addition to that, you can have response plans in place. You can have coordination plans both between or among organizations that are in that area, but also ways to interact between or among non-governmental organizations or governments that are not in the area directly. And these response plans and coordination plans really need to be in place in before the actual crisis hits. In addition to that, a lot of global organizations pre-position inventory all around the world so that they can reduce the lead time to get the actual supplies close to the area so that they can focus more on the last mile where there are a lot of challenges in getting the goods into the hands of the people that need them. For earthquakes and other kinds of events like tsunamis, warning systems can be put in place and risk assessment as far as the geographical aspects of the systems. And in fact, I think in this case, there are some warnings out about potential tsunamis that may result in the area in response to the earthquake. And I know the tsunami in Asia a few years ago also prompted a lot of work on early warning systems to let people know when big events might be coming.
Let's take a step back. What is humanitarian logistics, Dr. Keskinochak?
It's a coordination of people, goods, services, and money with the goal of helping people in need of a disaster. That's at least the definition I would give within a disaster context. So in a sense, it's very similar to what we, how we define supply chain management in an industry context, but here our focus is on providing relief aid to people in need.
And what is the operations research side to humanitarian logistics? How do you model disaster response?
There are actually multiple ways and multiple steps towards modeling. So as I mentioned before, one of the important issues is to estimate the demand for these supplies. And this can be done at different levels. For example, if we are thinking about developing a prepositioning, inventory prepositioning network, we can take a high-level view of the world and using historical information try to estimate where and when and what type of events might happen and what kind of need might arise as a result of these events. And then using that information, we might build models in terms of choosing the appropriate locations for prepositioning inventory for different types of items. So this is just one example of how we could use operations research tools and techniques in preparedness and response.
And if a country like Haiti were to come to you and ask you what they should do looking forward, what kind of basic steps would you recommend? Dr. Swan, I'll let you take a crack at that one.
You left the hard one for me, right?
Yeah, there you are.
I think it depends also on what kind of timeline that you're talking about. I think certainly for the next few days, the focus will be on immediate response and immediate need. After that, there'll be a phase that will probably last for a long time, given the underlying vulnerability and aspects of the area that we're talking about, where you'll probably have to think about humanitarian logistics to be sustainable over months as you're trying to get things to people in camps, if that's where they are, until buildings can be restored and rebuilt. And so then there'll be a long phase of really the recovery where you'll be rebuilding the infrastructure of the country. And there, I would say, given that there's some kinds of natural disasters that are at risk in this area, they'll want to rebuild in a way that will take into account the potential for future disasters and try to minimize impact of those when possible. And so that may be one of the things that they look at. And then I know that there are also some people who are thinking about things not only on the logistics side, but what can Haiti do to improve the condition for their people as they are unfortunately having to rebuild, but also take that opportunity to do it in a way that that makes sense for the population.
To follow up on that, I think in the short term, in conjunction and also immediately following the current rescue efforts, debris clearance is going to be a big challenge. Some of the debris might be time sensitive in the sense that it starts contaminating the environment and becomes a major health hazard if it's not cleared within a certain time frame. So we will see some challenges in that area. And I guess longer term, as Professor Swan mentioned, improving the health and living conditions is going to be a big challenge. Because even before the earthquake, the country faced public health challenges such as lack of clean water, certain endemic diseases like malaria. The life expectancy is pretty low. Half of the children are not vaccinated. So even before the earthquake, the situation was not that great. And now, of course, all of the recent events is going to make things even more challenging moving forward.
We have time for one final question. If you were looking towards the future, not just in Haiti, but worldwide, in terms of preparedness, from the humanitarian logistics standpoint, from the modeler standpoint, what can we do to make future operations better?
I would say that coordination in general is a major challenge in these types of humanitarian aid operations. A lot of relief aid flying, airports being crowded, unloading planes, and multiple organizations often competing for the same resources. So I think there's still a long way to go in terms of coordinating relief efforts and preparing ahead of time, either through pre-positioning or procurement contracts that are put in place ahead of time.
To add to that, I would say that a lot of times when people are thinking about plans for preparedness, we have a tendency to focus on what we expect to happen. But in the case of areas in disasters, in thinking about relief operations, you have to think about not only what you expect to happen, but what you don't expect to happen, in a sense, because you need to be able to plan to deal with different kinds of contingencies. And so that's something where modeling can also help and show you not only to do what, in the case of the expected case, but also to do in some of the other kinds of cases in looking at the potential. And the other thing that I think is really difficult is that when you're talking about humanitarian logistics and other related activities, you're usually working with limited resources, and you have to try to figure out how to prioritize how to use your limited resources, whether it's money or people or goods or space at the airport. And so you want to do it in a way that achieves your overall objectives, whatever they are.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Professor Pinar Kiskunochak and Professor Julie Swan, the directors of the Center for Health and Humanitarian Logistics at the Georgia Institute of Technology. Professors, thank you both for talking with us.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for listening to this special Science of Better podcast by INFORMS, the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. For more information about operations research and this series, visit us on the web at www.informs.org.